It's from Revelation chapter 3, reading verses 14 to 20. The message to Laodicea. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, this is a message from the Amen, the faithful and true witness, who is the origin of all that God has created. I know what you have done. I know that you are neither cold nor hot. How I wish you were either one or the other. But because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am going to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich and well off, I have all I need. But you do not know how miserable and pitiful you are. You are poor, naked, and blind. I advise you then to buy gold from me, pure gold, in order to be rich. Buy also white clothing to dress yourself and cover up your shameful nakedness. Buy also some ointment to put on your eyes, so that you may see. I rebuke and punish all whom I love. Be in earnest then, and turn from your sins. Listen, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into his house and eat with him, and he will eat with me. Our second reading is from Luke chapter 16, reading verses 19 to 28. The rich man and Lazarus. There was once a rich man who dressed in the most expensive clothes and lived in great luxury every day. There was also a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who used to be brought to the rich man's door, hoping to eat the bits of food that fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to sit beside Abraham at the feast in heaven. The rich man died and was buried. And in Hades, where he was in great pain, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus at his side. So he called out, Father Abraham, take pity on me and send Lazarus to dip his finger in some water and cool my tongue, because I am in great pain in this fire. But Abraham said, remember, my son, that in your lifetime you were given all the good things, while Lazarus got all the bad things. But now he is enjoying himself here while you are in pain. Besides all that, there is a deep pit lying between us, so that those who want to cross over from here to you cannot do so, nor can anyone cross over from us to where you are. The rich man said, then I beg you, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my father's house, where I have five brothers. Let him go and warn them, so that they, at least, will not come to this place of pain. Amen.
Thank you, Elizabeth. And now we will sing Amazing Grace, the more modern version, which has the chorus.
Thank you.
Let us pray. As we now meditate on your word, inspire and direct our thinking, O God, so that we may be uplifted, challenged, and reassured by your word, through the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Opening the door of our heart to welcome Christ. Pre-COVID, Roy and I went to Canada to meet up with John and Irene, a couple we first met in Vancouver almost 50 years ago. And on our way to Montreal to meet up with them, we stopped off at a small place called Bay Como on the shores of the St. Lawrence River. Tucked away from the shore, we came across an Anglican church of St. Andrew and St. George, a small church built in a Tudor style, and it was built in the 1937. And we decided to investigate, but we found the door locked. Now, this was most odd because we had just seen a couple going into the church. So we kept knocking at the door until eventually they heard and they let us in. Everything inside was made of substantial oak. On the lectern were carved crosses of both saints. On the pulpit was carved the thistle and the rose. St. Andrew and St. George may be a very small building, but it was packed with beautiful stained glass windows. On one, there was Jesus summoning the fishermen Peter and Andrew, but they were illustrated as the local salmon fishermen. In another, Jesus appears to a coal miner. Another shows loggers on the river. And then there was the nativity scene. Instead of the traditional shepherds and wise men looking on at the baby, it was the native creatures from around Bay Como, and there were even two moose. And of course there was the traditional stained glass window of St. Andrew and St. George. But what an artistic and spiritual find in such an out-of-the-way place. And it was well worth all our knocking to be let in. If we were to design a stained glass window of the rich man and Lazarus, how would we approach it? First of all, let's remind ourselves of the story. A rich man, anonymous, a poor man named Lazarus, some dogs, number, size, and breed unknown. The rich man dies, the poor man dies. Causes of death unknown. The rich man finds himself in Hades with no prospect, but in great pain. The poor man finds himself in heaven sitting beside Abraham in great luxury. Well, let's consider the possibilities of an opening sketch for our stained glass window. We could simply draw the rich man dressed in purple and fine linen because he lives in luxury and feasts every day. So this man has every creature comfort that has... That's the wrong slide. That's the one. Thank you. Has to offer, and he's living like a king. And it's a picture of richness and color. Or maybe in stark contrast, we'd prefer to cut to the sumptuous scene and draw the poor beggar covered with sores, perhaps a scene to shock, a close-up perhaps of one of Lazarus's sores and the dogs drooling over it. That would make a chilling picture. Personally, I wouldn't go for either of the sumptuous or the shocking picture. I'd like to focus on the ordinary but evocative. So my drawing of this story would be on the door, the one on which the story focuses on. It hinges on that door. But it's a door that we sometimes miss in the story. For all the attention it receives, Jesus might well not have mentioned the door. But it's there. The door is mentioned at verse 20. A door is a point of exit and entry. It's for coming and going. It's not an obstacle. It's not a barrier. It does not block or stop us, but it does nonetheless serve as a divide. It marks a boundary. It separates. And in this particular parable, it separates a rich man from a poor man. This door doesn't open. It could, but it doesn't. If we look carefully at the story, it says that Lazarus longed to be fed from the bits of food that fell from the rich man's table. Yet nothing ever came through that door to benefit the suffering and starving Lazarus. But at death, the picture changes dramatically. The beggar's body is probably thrown on the town's rubbish dump. But Lazarus's soul is carried by the angels to sit beside Abraham at the feast in heaven. The rich man is probably buried with all pomp and circumstance, but there is no angelic escort for him, for his destination is Hades. Shall we draw the splendors of heaven or the torment of Hades? For my drawing, I'm going to concentrate on the deep pit in verse 26. This great gulf between the two men. This gulf serves the same purpose as the door. The gulf is the great divide between the rich man and the poor man. But unlike the door, which doesn't open, the gulf doesn't close. So when the rich man requests, or it might have been demands, that Lazarus be sent over to cool his tongue, Abraham just says, "It cannot be done. The gulf is unbridgeable." The agony that the rich man now experiences in Hades far exceeds the agony that poor Lazarus had ever experienced in life. And the bliss that Lazarus now experiences is worth more than the rich man had ever experienced in his life. And so the roles are now reversed, but they are also intensified. Although Lazarus may not have borne the rich man any grudge and would have been willing to help him, but there is no opportunity in death. This pit is too deep and the gulf is too wide. This is in contrast to the rich man. He had every opportunity in life to help poor Lazarus. He had only to open the door. But that never happened, and now it's too late. The rich man who chose to live in splendid seclusion is now damned to hellish isolation. The door which could have opened has become the gulf that cannot close. And there's the rub of the story. It's about the divide between people. And that's what I'd like to put my drawing to focus on. Granted, in this particular case, it's between wealth and poverty. But it could easily have been about religion, or race, or politics, or sport. Here then is a story which prompts us to open up, to open the doors of our hearts and our minds to the people that we choose to shut out, and to do it before the gulf between us becomes unbridgeable. And that, after all, was the whole thrust of Jesus' ministry, to invite those who'd been kept at bay, the diseased, the tax collectors, the sinners, even women and children. If, like the rich man, we insist on keeping ourselves to ourselves, we may eventually be left to ourselves, and that might prove to be more disastrous than we bargained for. For my final drawing, I put myself in the picture. And there I'd be looking across the gulf to the picture, to the people gathered beside Abraham. There would be a shot of Abraham sitting at the top table with a whole host of the most unlikeliest of people. And I would be asking, and probably you might be asking, well, how did they get in there? And a voice would say, they just opened their door more often than you did. In the book of Revelation, John of Patmos writes, Christ says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Christ is appealing not to outsiders, but to church members. He is trying to rouse our apathy and lukewarmness. We are to open our hearts and our minds unreservedly to Christ. We are to be receptive and obedient to his voice. We are to be at home with him, and he is to be at home with us. And the guest that we invite in proves to be the true host of all. We are all familiar with the painting by Holman Hunt, The Light of the World. Holding a lantern, Christ seems to say, I stand at the door and knock. This wooden door separates us from Christ. But it need not, because the latch is on the inside. If you look carefully at the painting, there is no latch or handle on the outside. It's on the inside. It is our hand that must open the door, and our voice that must invite Christ in. The rich man kept poor Lazarus outside the door. But let us not keep Christ waiting. Let us open our doors of our hearts and mind so that we are restored in Christ's fellowship. And so for Christ's and our own sakes, let's leave our doors open. Glory be to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And now we'll have a short time of reflection when Hugh will play as a little something. Jesus said, "For everyone who asks will receive. Whoever seeks will find, and the door will be opened to anyone who knocks." Some of us have given our offerings already as we came in, and some of us will give as we go out. But let's ask the Lord for his blessing. Let us pray. God of heaven and earth, we dedicate our gifts to you. We ask that this money may be used wisely in your service, in this church and nationwide. We dedicate our lives to you, asking that you will use us to serve others without thought for ourselves. We pray that we might be worthy disciples of Christ Jesus, in whose name we offer our prayer. Amen. We now sing the prayer song, and we'll sing it seated. Lord of life, we come to you.
Come.
let us now come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Generous God, we give thanks for the richness within creation, for its colours, variety, and form of plants, trees, and creatures, the natural riches for our resources from the earth, water, and air. We give thanks for material riches, our homes, food, and clothes, money to spend on hobbies and leisure activities, and to buy health-giving medicines and drugs. We give thanks for spiritual riches, the gifts of the Holy Spirit that he bestows on us through books and art and music, which stimulate our hearts and minds and help us on life's journey. Eternal God, we give you thanks and praise. And now, in the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to God for others. Merciful God, there is a gulf between war and peace. We pray for those brought low by violence and aggression, for those caught up in fighting and conflict in Ukraine, for those who face starvation and death, those who face typhoons and floods or drought. Lord, open the doors of reconciliation and peace. There is a gulf between captivity and freedom. We pray for those brought low by imprisonment for conscience' sake, for those who uphold and support them, for those who live under oppressive and unjust regimes. Lord, open the doors of justice and freedom. There is a gulf between poverty and wealth. We pray for those brought low by unemployment, for those living below the poverty line, unable to meet the spiraling costs of today's living. Lord, open the doors of fairness and reform. There is a gulf between apathy and faith. We pray for those brought low by despair and doubt, for those unsure of their own faith, for those who feel that nobody cares or understands. Lord, open the doors of hope and love. And there is a gulf between illness and health. We pray for those brought low by illness in body, mind, or spirit, for those bereaved and lonely, for those under stress from pressure at home or at work. And we also pray for those whom we know and love, and in silence we name them before you. Listening God, open the doors of healing and wholeness, we pray. Help us to know your presence with us and your strength in time of need. Reconciling God, hear our prayer. In the name of Christ Jesus, who is the door to eternal life. Amen. We close with the song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. May the love of God enfold us, the teachings of Christ enlighten us, the power of the Holy Spirit strengthen us, and now the blessings of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us and in us, now and evermore. Amen.